Thank you for tuning in to our first Lutheran Church podcast travel series. We will explore some of the faithful travel experiences members of our congregation have undertaken. I hope these discussions will inspire you to go out into the world. Bless it in the name of Jesus, and let it bless you back. Hi, welcome back to our podcast where we are speaking to people that have grown their faith through travel. My name is Pastor Jill, and I am pastor at First Lutheran Church of Columbia Heights in Minnesota. And today we have Linda and Mitch, who joined me on our last Holy Land tour. Hey, Linda and Mitch, welcome.
Hi.
So we went to Israel and to Rome in March of 2023. And my question for you two is, what inspired you to want to go on this Holy Land tour?
Well, to start, it was completely my idea because my parents had traveled extensively and I had already been to Israel. So every season of the calendar year for the church would come around and I'd be like, yeah, that's not exactly how Bethlehem looks. That's not exactly how Jerusalem looks. And, you know, when you talk about walking through the streets of Jerusalem, you kind of get an idea when you read the Bible. But when you're actually there, it's different. And it's not Jerusalem and Bethlehem and everything. You know, people have lived there for 2,000 years. So it's not the way that it looked at the time of Jesus, because there's like modern people there and they have streetlights. And so you have to kind of imagine a little, but still the hills are there and the rocks are there. And you know, we saw olive trees that are 2,000 years old, and those were there. And so it changes completely how you see things.
Right. So, Mitch, why did you want to go along?
Well, it sounded very interesting. You know, we'll read the Bible and thought that might be a very good trip to go see what it looks like and get the idea of how it would be from the Bible point of view on it.
Right. And this was a big trip for you guys. It was also a celebration of something. What were you celebrating on this trip?
We celebrated our 25th anniversary. Because of COVID, it ended up getting delayed. We'd already had our 26th anniversary, but because originally we were going to go in October and then our anniversary would have been in December, but then it ended up being over a year later. But it was still definitely, the thought was still there. And
Right. So yeah, that's one thing. I mean, these trips, they take a lot of planning and a lot of time and saving for it. And so it's really cool that you could mark something very personally significant while we were on this trip. We'll get back to that a little bit later. But I would like to know, usually we have some expectations when we go on a journey. And I wonder, how did this trip compare to your expectations? Was it the same, or were you completely surprised, or how did it compare?
For me, I was shocked as to how much stuff had changed, because I had gone in 1993, and like the Dead Sea is so much smaller than it was. And we stayed on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they have done so many archaeological digs. I mean, whole cities have been discovered since I was there the last time. And so that was just kind of shocking, actually. It was really interesting to see, and it made it so much more real. Because when I went in 1993, there was basically like two or three places that where they would say, we're sure Jesus was here. And now it's like, and Jesus was here, and Jesus was there, and Jesus was over there, and these are the hills. And so it was like, Jesus was everywhere this time.
It's amazing what's buried under the ground. And one of the things I learned is tell is a city that's built on a city. And there are some tells that are maybe 15 cities deep. I mean, it's amazing what they can uncover over there. Mitch, what about you? How did this compare to your expectations?
Well, I always been fascinated by the Sea of Galilee and looking at pictures, and those pictures are not the same as being right there in person to see how it would look. And expectations, it was, really didn't know. This was my first trip, so I really didn't know what to expect, but it was really a good trip. It was much more interesting to see what it really looked like.
Well, speaking of the Sea of Galilee, we got to ride in a boat, which, I mean, I don't know if you expected that or not, but you really get more of a perspective of what the fishermen saw when they were out there fishing, and what the mountains looked like, or the hills and the the landscape. So yeah, that's super cool. So what was something while you were there that you learned? Now, this could be learning about yourself or the land or the people or the Bible. What was something, I know, Linda, you took a lot of good notes. So what was something that you each learned while we were there?
For me, it was a lot more of the history. Our guide, Jane, is an amazing teacher, and to learn more about the people that have lived there for thousands and thousands of years. And especially here in Minnesota, I feel like we really don't understand history very well because it goes back maybe 150, 200 years, and then it's Native Americans. And you go out east, and that's, you know, to the Revolution, and then you go to Europe, and it's like, well, maybe 1500, and then you go to the Holy Land, and it's like 4000 plus.
Right.
So it's like a completely different perspective, and just to learn more. And I know that I'd had a lot of that teaching before, but being older, I think I absorbed it a lot more, and I really see the current events and how we ended up where we are today. And it's really, really complicated.
It sure is, yes. Mitch, was there something that you learned that stuck out to you? I was thinking about they were telling us about some swords, Roman swords that they had found while we were down at the Dead Sea. And I was thinking about you. You like to work with implements. And how, do you remember that they talked about those swords? Not really.
Well, there was so much they talked about that you kind of forget a lot of it.
But. Right, right. Yeah. But they're finding swords that are older than our whole country. So.
Yeah. And yeah. I found Rome to be really interesting because I didn't realize how much was like right in the middle of the city.
Yes.
You know, that, I mean, because I'd really wanted to see the Colosseum, which is kind of funny because it's like totally pagan. But to also see, you know, where Peter had been and where he ended up and the different burial places and seeing the catacombs, it's like it really put things together a lot more for me that I didn't really realize were completely separated.
Right. This is the story of Christianity after Jesus, and to see that history is
yeah, and
amazing.
Then it was crazy to get on the plane, and we fly over the Mediterranean for 4 hours, and that's what they would have taken, like basically what I think of as a big rowboat across the sea, or walked for months to get around.
Right.
And because I didn't realize, I thought it would just be, you know, like from flying from here to Chicago. Oh, no, no, it's much farther than that.
One thing that really surprised me, we got to go in the Vatican, and I didn't realize that the Vatican is the number one collector of antiquities in the world. And so when we were in the Vatican, we saw a lot of pagan sculptures or blankets or tapestries, or there were so many like pagan gods that were being represented in the Vatican just because they collect all those antiquities. So that surprised me.
Yeah, and I was surprised as to how big the Vatican was, and we saw like a tiny little part of it.
Right.
So, and I thought that was really cool. I can hardly wait for Christmas Eve, we're actually recording this before Christmas, to see the Pope stand out on the balcony because we saw that, and we saw the backside of it where he stands, because I never thought about it, that, yeah, like how does he get there?
Right.
Well, he actually stands, it's like a little, I don't know, hallway or, and then the backside of that is St. Peter's Cathedral, which I never put that together, that it's right there.
Right, right. In some ways it's big, in some ways it's much smaller than I expected because it is all right there in Vatican Square. Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about the head so far. What about the heart? What impacted your heart while we were on this journey? Your heart or your spirit? What brought out some feelings?
I can't remember what it's called, but where Jesus had the flogging.
Oh,
and
right.
I know that it existed because of how old that history, or like how old that museum is, but I never got to see that the first time. And for me, that was, and seeing the game of the crown of thorns.
Yes.
In the ground, which, you know, crown of thorns has a completely different connotation now, thanks to media. But to see that and to understand better how the soldiers would have been standing around, and how, I mean, this was their workspace. And then they bring this man in and what they did to him, and also kind of how they ended up doing what they did to him by playing this game. And just hearing that history made it not only more real, but made it make more sense that they weren't just picking on this guy just because.
I think you're talking about the Antonio Fortress.
Yes.
Yes. That was the barracks and where they lived and they worked and yeah, they hung out and yes, yes.
Yeah. And that's another interesting thing, because it's, you walk down like two flights of steps to get down because everything's been built on top of everything else. And we went to Jerusalem at the very end. And so you hear all these stories about how the tells and they build on top and they build on top. And which I still don't quite understand, because here in Minnesota, you clear it all away and you start from scratch, but there they build on top. And so there's buildings on top and then you go down underneath. And so you're underneath where their top was back 2000 years ago.
Yes. Yes. What about you, Mitch? Did you have anything impact your heart or your spirit significantly?
Well, seeing the River Jordan, thought it would be much wider, and it wasn't.
Sure, sure. And we renewed our baptisms there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that was very meaningful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our faith then. We'd go on these journeys, and they're not always comfortable, but we didn't go on it to be on a vacation. We go on to stretch ourselves and to learn and grow. And this one specifically, we really were trying to learn about the history that led up to Jesus and even went after Jesus. How was your faith journey impacted by taking this journey, this pilgrimage? Mitch, do you want to start? Did anything change for you in your relationship with God or how you talk to Jesus?
Well, I think it was a little stronger because you get to really see all the events where they took place, and you get a much more stronger faith from it.
Right. These are real people. They are absolutely. Even if people aren't Christian or Jewish, they know these are real people. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Linda?
I didn't connect quite as much on this one, but I remember it having just a profound effect. And I think that's really the first time going to the Holy Land is what I hear from a lot of people, is that you go back and it's like you're adding to it. But the first big, oh my gosh, it makes sense. This, it's like Jesus is right here and Jesus is everywhere. I really felt that on the first trip. And because I had felt that and I've hung on to that, I didn't really experience that the second time. However, I did really feel it when we were in Rome and with Paul, because I've never really connected with the New Testament. And, you know, I read the readings and that's where we get a lot of the stuff from, but a lot of my faith comes from the four Gospels.
Right.
And because those to me are the Word of God, and the New Testament is letters. They're written to people within a certain context, within what was going on. But to be there and learn more about Paul and learn more about and see the actual places where things happened really made that much stronger for me.
Right. So. Thinking about, he was in prison. Mm-hmm. He suffered while he was here, and seeing those locations. Yes, absolutely. That made a big impact on me as well. So we had talked a little bit earlier about that this was a personal celebration for you as well. What inspired you to want to celebrate your anniversary, and in the particular way you did it with a renewal of your vows on this trip? Why was this the location or this the time?
Because I've truly felt that God brought us together.
Yes. And you wanted to be in the place where you could see God. What about you, Mitch? Did anything in particular bring this out to you, why you wanted this location to renew your vows?
Well, it just seemed like the appropriate place, and it was a pretty good, anywhere you went was a pretty good spot to renew your vows.
Right. And you guys obviously have a marriage that's founded on faith and practicing your faith, so I can see that this would be a meaningful place. And I was honored to be a part of that. We were on the Sea of Galilee when we were visiting Magdala, and we got a little private part of the beach to ourselves. although there was a doggy running around a little bit.
Oh, but that dog was adorable. Yeah. And for me, it was really interesting because Magdala didn't exist when I was there in the 90s. Because so some of my ideas of where I thought, you know, it'd be kind of neat to have it. I was glad that you were like, we should do it at Magdala. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know what Magdala is, but okay. And then it was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like God brought Mitch and I together. God brought our four kids into our life. So.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a cool place too, because Magdala is where we get the name Magdalene from. And we think of Mary Magdalene being there. And some of the journey she had too with society was kind of rocky, but she was 100% accepted and loved by Jesus. And that's what we need to show for each other all the time. And yeah, it was beautiful and an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah. And that's one of the places that not only did it not exist, but it has a first century synagogue. So It's one of the places where they're like, yeah, okay, he didn't sign his name in the wall, but we are pretty sure as archaeology can get that this would have been one of the synagogues when they talk about Jesus teaching.
Right.
This is where he could have been. He went into the synagogue and unrolled the roll and he talked and he preached and then he walked out to the people and up to the hills. And so it makes it really real.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have some pretty cool artifacts that they found there too that also help us understand, like even the places where they would go for the ritual cleansing and those baths and thinking about how careful people were to honor God in that place so long ago. And there you were honoring God with your marriage there too. That was beautiful. So as we speak right now, travel to this Holy Land. Rome you can still go to, but travel to the Holy Land is mostly suspended because there's a lot of violence and conflict going on there. It's not a new story. There has always been conflict there, and hopefully it will get resolved in a just and peaceful way that honors all people. Assuming travel becomes safe again in the future, what would you tell somebody who was perhaps considering a trip to the Holy Land?
Go.
Why?
Because it will change you, it will change your life, and it will change the people around you as you talk about it when you come back.
Yes. Well, you guys, your first audience is your children. Mm-hmm. So they get to hear what an impact faith had on you. And we know more than anything else, growing faith in children is them seeing it in their parents. So
They enjoyed seeing the pictures and like they were shocked as to, again, you have pictures in your mind as how things are. And Mitch is sitting next. We have a picture of Mitch sitting next to the stone that was rolled away. And the stone is tiny. And so you literally would have had to crawl into the tomb. And that's, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody thinking that that's how it would have actually been. But it was interesting when the kids, because, you know, I didn't have cell phones in the 1990s like they do now. And so I was sending pictures kind of every day. And this is where we're doing this and doing that. And they were shocked as to how small the Sea of Galilee was. And they were shocked as to how big the olive trees were and how small the stone was. And so they're super excited to be able to go at some point in time right. When it's makes more sense in their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, regardless of what the political situation is.
Right.
And I can also say that I would never want to go on a trip like this without a group, because it's not only everything is set up, the hotels, you know where you're going, you get in, you get out, it's highly organized, and you also get the guides, you get all the teaching and all the mm-hmm. background stuff that really helps to pull it all together and make it an amazing trip. But you also get the security with that,
right. Where
that these groups are monitored, they're registered, so that if anything does happen, the group would get moved around to a different situation or get pulled out in a heartbeat.
They keep you safe.
It will not be any place safe or any place unsafe that wouldn't keep you safe when you're on this trip. So, I mean, yes, it's, you know, you think about, well, this could happen and that could happen. Well, things can happen right here too.
Right. As the situation came on so quickly in Israel, I was listening to podcasts about people that were thinking about going on a trip or maybe were there when the violence erupted, and they were perfectly safe. They had to change their schedule, and sometimes they had to go sit in a bomb shelter. But one group, they went knowing that the situation was out of control, but they felt perfectly safe. So yes, the guides take good care of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Well, I'm really glad that none of that happened when
right.
we were there.
Right.
To me, that's part of the history too.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's part of living in the Holy Land, and that would be an experience of what it's like to actually be there.
Right.
And what it is like to be a part of that part of the world.
Right. And certainly, while Jesus was alive, there wasn't necessarily his people fighting other people, but they were oppressed and there was violence and there were Roman soldiers running around intimidating people, and it wasn't a peaceful place for him to live either. So it was definitely adds to our learning. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Linda and Mitch, for coming and sharing your story. I hope it inspires people to travel when they get the chance and when borders open again and it's available, because certainly there's a lot of history there that makes an impact. As we wrap up, I would just like to lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, it is an honor, it is a privilege to go to the piece of earth where you were born, where you walked, where you taught and healed, the place where you raised up your disciples and started this ball rolling that is bringing us closer to you, closer to God, our Creator. Thank you, Lord, for giving Mitch and Linda and myself the opportunity to go there on this trip. And I pray that many more people will get that opportunity. I pray that you will bring a lasting peace to that part of the world. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.